Please be seated. The Gospel of Holy Thursday, or Maundy Thursday as it's also known, presents us with one of the most widely recognized scenes in all of the Bible, the Last Supper. Thanks to centuries of Christian art, it is a scene that even unbelievers are familiar with. But for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel accounts of Holy Thursday record ever so much more than simply a familiar biblical scene. They record the prelude to the most momentous event in the history of mankind, the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But even referring to it as a prelude runs the risk of missing the intensity of meaning in all that took place in that upper room in Jerusalem on that Thursday evening nearly 2,000 years ago. It was, to begin with, the last Passover supper that Jesus would celebrate with his apostles, and one that would change the meaning of Passover forever. It was during that supper that Jesus told the apostles that he was giving them and us a new commandment, mandatum in the Latin translation, from which Maundy Thursday derives its name. This new commandment was that for all time Jesus' followers were to love one another as he loves us. St. John actually records 5 entire chapters of Jesus' words at the Last Supper, including his high priestly prayer for all believers of all times and his passionate heart cry for unity among those believers, the heart cry that we in this parish heard and obeyed as we made the decision to enter the ordinariate of the chair of St. Peter and thus become part of the Roman Catholic Church. The Last Supper accounts also record Jesus' demonstration of servant leadership in washing the feet of the apostles, an act which we will symbolically recreate shortly. The washing of the apostles' feet included the feet of the apostle who would then leave the upper room for the purpose of betraying Jesus into the hands of those who would put him to death. Jesus and the 11 subsequently also left the upper room to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, where, as his final passion began, our Lord suffered his great agony of soul, mind, and will as he began to confront head-on the horrific reality of what lay before him. But what I would like to concentrate on this evening is the profound truth of Jesus' institution of the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, and what it means for us as believers today. St. Matthew records it this way in chapter 26 of his gospel. He writes, "Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" St. Paul wrote this in his first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 11. He said, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So what St. Matthew and St. Paul and the other New Testament writers are referring to is something that allows Christians of all time, including you and me this evening, and every time we gather at the altar, to participate intimately in Jesus' sacrifice at Calvary by feeding on his broken body and his shed blood. Is that a mystery? You bet it is. And one of the great, one of the most profound of all the great mysteries of the faith. So mysterious, in fact, that in the last 500 years, many Christians have come to reject the truth of Jesus' real presence in the Eucharist, relegating the sacrament to a mere ordinance and relegating the mystery of Jesus' body and blood to a mere memorial meal. In his book entitled God is Near Us, then Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, who became Pope Benedict XVI, wrote this, quote, "The Eucharist is far more than just a meal. It has cost the death of the Son of God to provide it, and the majesty of death is present in it. Whenever we hold it, we should be filled with reverence and awe in the face of this mystery, with awe in the face of this mysterious death that becomes a present reality in our midst. The Christian feast, the Eucharist, plumbs the very depths of death. It is not just a matter of pious discourse and entertainment, of some kind of religious beautification, spreading a pious gloss on the world. It plumbs the very depths of existence, which it calls death, and strikes out on an upward path of life, the life that overcomes death." Now, I'm going to assume that because you're here this evening, you already believe, as the church has always believed, that in the Eucharist, Jesus actually gives us his flesh to eat and his blood to drink. And I'm going to assume that you take the Lord at his word when he said this in John chapter 6. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." You see, the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist is a reflection of the miraculous and mystical reality of the Incarnation itself. The Word made flesh. In the Incarnation, God the Son, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, while remaining the same divine person with the same divine nature, also took on our human nature as Jesus Christ. For all who encountered him on earth, Jesus looked, felt, sounded, even smelled like a mere man. Apart from the miracles that he performed, no one without faith would know, just from observing him, that he was also God. In other words, what they perceived in Jesus with their physical senses was a man. But in reality, that man was the Son of God. In much the same way, the Eucharist is a miraculous, mystical, incarnational reality. What we receive in Holy Communion, what you will receive in just a few moments, looks, smells, feels, and tastes like mere bread and wine. But what it becomes in the Eucharist is the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. No one without faith would know, just from observation, that they are receiving the body and blood of Christ. What we see and taste with our physical senses is bread and wine, but in reality, the Lord is truly and really present under the forms of bread and wine. How do we know that? How is it that we believe that? The same way that we believe in the Incarnation, Jesus Christ is truly God and truly man, namely, by faith that comes through the revealed truth of God's Word and through the consistent understanding and teaching of the church for the past 2,000 years, going all the way back to the apostles. And so then, by faith, Christ is first apprehended by us in the proclamation and preaching of the word, which teaches us the truth of what he did in becoming man and the truth of what he did at the Last Supper and through his entire passion, death, and resurrection. And then Christ is experienced intimately in our participation in the Eucharist. The Lord, now ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, has left us with the means for entering into intimate, joyful fellowship with him on earth by allowing us to feed on his flesh and blood. Jesus, at the same time our Passover lamb and our great high priest, makes his presence and the graces attendant on his presence continually available to us. The life in Christ's blood sacrifice on the cross, made once for all, flowed out to us 2,000 years ago on Calvary and continues to do so today in every celebration of the Eucharist. Can you comprehend that? Neither can I. But it's true. Joyfully and mysteriously true. It's also safe to say that the church is never so authentically the church than when she is offering and celebrating the Mass. Why do I say that? Because the Eucharist connects us, the church on earth, mystically with the church in heaven, and thus with our eternal destiny and our eternal home. The Eucharist is the centerpiece of our Christian worship of Almighty God and is in truth the closest experience we will ever have of heaven on earth, literally. Because when we celebrate and partake of the Eucharist, we are celebrating and partaking of the new Passover, of which Jesus is our Passover Lamb of God. And so the Eucharist becomes then the earthly extension of both the worship and the feast that takes place continually in heaven, where the Lamb of God is seated at the right hand of the Father. That's why the Second Vatican Council and the Catechism declare the Eucharist the source and the summit of the Christian life. Thus, we are privileged and blessed by God to have the two most precious elements in the universe, the two most precious elements in the universe, the body and blood of our Lord on our altar and in our tabernacle, and even more wonderfully to receive them into our own bodies in Holy Communion, experiencing as we do a sacred life flow from Jesus' own being into ours. We cannot overestimate the profound value of that truth in our lives, and we must not ever underestimate it because of familiarity or ignorance or unbelief. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.